/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again this morning. The chat room is starting to fill up. Really appreciate you guys being in there. My name's JD. Welcome to the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite alternative news and information network, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com and hop into the chat room. There are a ton of other people in there already this morning. So happy to have you guys along for the ride. Today is going to be a fantastic show. It is Friday. Today is the 10th day of April, which does make it, in fact, Friday. So we have made it yet again through another week, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate all of that. I hope you guys are gearing up for a nice weekend. I got to tell you, it is absolutely stunning outside here in Missouri right now, and battles are being waged against lawns across the entire neighborhood right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Hopefully it will carry through on the weekend, and hopefully wherever you guys are at, you're going to get some of this as well. Today is going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. I know yesterday, man, I was having a lot of brain fog yesterday. I don't know what was going on, but we're back in good form today. Hopefully, fingers crossed here, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Gause is going to be joining us. You guys obviously know who Andrew Gause is, one of my very favorite people on planet Earth at this point, ladies and gentlemen. He's a monetary historian. He's a numismatic expert. We will be talking more about the economy today because, again, you know, I've been doing this radio thing for about a year now. We've been awake to the 9/11 thing since, well, basically the day after 9/11. And there's always been this rumor out there about some kind of global currency reset or about some kind of economic meltdown and things like that. You know, and we were watching those reports coming out and out and out, and we're kind of watching the line get closer and closer and closer. And I'll tell you, folks, it really does seem to me like we're right on the cusp of something right now, and it is going to be a major economic shift. We talked to Ken about that yesterday. Andrew, I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about with us today since there have been some more developments in the economic arena overnight. So I'm definitely looking forward to having this conversation today. He's my very favorite person to talk to on a Friday outside of all of you wonderful folks that just keep turning up day after day. I don't know why. I don't know why. But here's what I've decided to do, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what I've decided to do. We're going to trim a little fat. I really appreciate all of the support you guys are giving me. We get a lot of praise from some of the other hosts. Amazing hosts on this network. I'm doing my best to try and keep up with those guys. I mean, looking over at Kev and Marty's show, holy cow, or looking at Popeye's show, looking at Joe's show. These guys are really throwing down the gauntlet. So I am doing my best to bring you guys the best service that we can possibly bring you guys. And I know, like right now, I have a tendency to kind of ramble. So here's what we're going to start doing from now on. I'm going to start trying to trim a little bit of the fat out of the news. So I'm kind of dealing with a double-edged sword here because if I don't load up on news, and then we don't have a guest, I end up kind of sitting here wondering what in the heck I'm going to talk about. But at the same time, we've been doing this for 5 months, and I've never seemed to make it all the way through the news. So I'm going to basically cut back and try and just highlight some of the most important stories. I'll leave some stuff on the table in case something, God forbid, happens in the second hour and we've got to circle back around. But that's my promise to you guys. You know, my whole goal here is, again, a process of continual improvement. I really want to make sure that you guys are taking as much value away from the show as you possibly can and that we're actually providing a service for you guys. And so in that vein, I'm going to be kind of trimming away some of the news today. So just go woo, JD. That's what James is saying in the chat room. I got to tell you, too, Friday mornings used to be my favorite part of the day. But now, man, Friday evening is absolutely absolutely becoming my best part, the best part of my week. So hanging out with Kev and Joe and Marty and, oh my gosh, I think tonight, I want to think that Johnny Whistle's going to be on too. If you guys didn't hear Kev Baker's show last night, oh my goodness. John was in full effect. Scottish guy living in Texas. Man, I was just cracking up the whole time. Just such good stuff. And of course, getting to hang out with Popeye and getting to talk about just random things is always a good time. So, do stick around for the whole day of live broadcasting here on True Frequency and check out the, Woo Crew tonight because it will be awesome. Okay, real quick. I know I'm rambling again, and I apologize, but I do want to give you guys a heads up on some of the guests that we're going to have. We are going to have Chris Kitsy on the show on Monday. He, of course, is the Seen and Unseen CEO. We'll be talking about encryption and things like that. A little bit different than the conversation we had with Gary Milievsky. Definitely looking forward to talking to Chris on Monday. Doreen Honus is going to be joining us on Tuesday. We'll have Deborah Tavares again on next week as well. And then at the end of the week, we're going to have a gentleman on named Savon. And I'm not going to tell you anything about him right now because he is going to blow your mind. We're going to set up the Woo next week like you guys wouldn't even believe. Talk about personal empowerment. Next week's going to be a big one, guys. So do stick around for that. Appreciate all you guys hanging out with us. Appreciate all of the wonderful emails that I've been getting to as well. It's just so nice to be part of this team. Okay. Let's hop along here and jump into the international news. Lots of stuff going on right now. And as I said, we'll trim some fat today and see if we can't bust through a whole bunch of news today. Right now, nationwide strikes went down in France. As of yesterday, they saw thousands of people marching in the streets instead of going to their regular jobs. And the union-led protest affected public services, air traffic, radio broadcasts, and Paris's most famous landmark. The strike is a day after the President Hollande's government said it expected 1% economic growth this year and lowered its forecast for 2016 and also 2017. And the unions are protesting against budget cuts right now and a number of other grievances they have against the governments or employers. So when I say that lots of marches were going down, I'm talking about tens of thousands of people marched in Paris, also some other cities, Marseille, Bordeaux, Toulouse, Thiers, Lyon. I mean, tons and tons of cities were basically bogged down with people yesterday because, again, people are pissed, and I don't blame them. I like seeing stuff like this because these austerity measures, especially in a place like France right now with the draconian controls that they're starting to put on your money and your bank accounts, your ability to get $1,000 is now going to land you in some kind of questionable territory. It's just crazy. So anyway, one thing I did like is the slogan that all these people were protesting, "Maintenant c'est suffit," which means enough is enough. And that's definitely a slogan I think we can all get behind here at the Red Pill Reports. Air traffic controllers, again, they want better work and retirement conditions. And their protest started on Wednesday. Airlines had to cut almost half of the flights to and from France during this two-day strike, and hundreds of flights were affected. Hospitals, schools, and other public services also had to scale down yesterday as staff walked out. And some schools substituted teaching with other activities just to keep the doors open. And the employees even of the Eiffel Tower locked the doors until the evening in solidarity with the protesters was over. So again, that's what was going on earlier this week in France. I've got a friend who's getting ready to fly over to France, and I'm looking for a first-hand update of actually what is going on. I agree, Red, someone in the chat room saying I'd like to see some of that here in the States. I completely agree with that as well. Moving on to another protest situation, dozens of Canadian students protesting budget cuts actually barricaded themselves inside of a Montreal university overnight after police intervention had resulted in more than 20 arrests on Wednesday. So according to social media accounts, a heavy police presence was seen in the surrounding area with reports of tear gas and pepper spray being used by law enforcement officers. The turmoil broke out after security agents started enforcing last week's court injunction, which ordered the protesters not to block entrances to the university. At least one journalist's camera was damaged by spray paint, and the tense night came after days of disturbances at the Université de Québec à Montréal, or UQAM, where students were protesting the provincial government's budget cuts. And the university administration called police twice on Wednesday, saying the protesters were disrupting class. And their second visit on the day after midday, police arrested actually 10 women and 10 men, according to the Montreal Gazette, all of them facing public order charges. Some of them also stand accused of using masks during the protest, while others were charged with illegal assembly. So some 150 of the initial 250 demonstrators who remained at the university by midnight, decided to barricade themselves in for an overnight sit-in. Still waiting on some new information from that. Don't really know what's going on. Also still waiting on information from the big gold heist or jewel heist or whatever it was that they got out of those safety deposit boxes in London. I don't have any more big information on that. Truth be told, hitting me up in the Skype room, or not in the Skype room, in the chat room at Truth Frequency Radio right now, talking about Walgreens closing 200 stores. And I do have that story. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into the economic news. I'll tell you what, the people who are invested in Walgreens right now, they did not care. And that 200% actually only represents about 2% of the, I want to say, 8,400 stores that they have globally right now. So yes, Walmart is in fact closing down a couple of stores. It's going to happen sometime. I guess we're doing the article right now since I read it. It's going to happen sometime between now and 2017, and the CEO of the company has not identified specifically which stores they're planning on closing or even which specific geographical areas they're going to be closing. It's part of their whole initiative to cut costs, I think, by more than $1 billion by the end of next year. You know what's going to happen, though, is I'm going to get through all this news and then get back to that article and figure out all the things that I just messed up when I told you all that stuff. But I'm pretty sure that's exactly what's going on. Let's keep on the international tip for just a second. A trial defendant shot dead a judge and two others on Thursday on a rampage through a Milan courthouse, casting a harsh spotlight on public security measures that Italy tightened earlier this year. Police said Claudio Giardiello, he shot the judge, Fernando Ciampini, in his office after earlier opening fire in a courtroom, leaving a lawyer and his co-defendant in a bankruptcy trial dead. And the fourth person was also wounded in this attack. Overall, Giardiello fired 13 shots inside the Palace of Justice in central Milan before fleeing, according to police. They then arrested him at a town north of Italy's financial district, according to the Interior Ministry there. So public security was tightened across Italy following the January Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris, and it's still not immediately clear how this assailant was able to carry a gun into the court building there in Italy, in Milan. And Milan's chief prosecutor, Edmondo Berti Libertati, he told reporters that the attacker likely carried a false identification bag and entered through a side entrance reserved for lawyers and court employees where they don't have a metal detector. So again, that's kind of gotta be wonder. This debate's gonna become more serious too, in terms of security, because the Milan Expo is scheduled to open up on the 1st of May. The city of Milan is hosting a global showcase of culture and technology, which will run for 6 months, and it's the first time in more than 100 years that this expo will be going on there in Milan. So obviously security right now going to be a topic of conversation. How that guy got into a courtroom with a gun and started shooting up everybody, I don't know. And then in another unrelated but similar story, at least 6 people were killed and as many as 63 injured, according to varying reports, after a gunman stormed a state attorney's office in northern Afghanistan. The 6-hour siege has now ended and all 5 gunmen were killed by the Afghan National Security Forces, which had surrounded the area. And the district attorney, who was among the staff inside the building, was freed, but one top security official is said to be amongst the dead, as well as 2 police officers, and 26 government officials were allegedly injured in this attack. So according to the news reports, there were reports of 4 huge explosions at the start. 9 people were almost immediately wounded in the firefight and taken to a hospital. Smoke could be seen billowing from the attorney's office as reports of the assailants throwing grenades at the police emerged, and the Taliban has effectively claimed responsibility for the attacks. This is a big time deal going on in North Afghanistan there. Lots of people getting shot in an attorney's office and in some of the surrounding buildings there. Moving on to Iraq right now is a kind of an awful story coming out of Iraq. According to the head of the tribal leaders in the Anbar Council, he announced on Thursday that the ISIS organization elements have executed 300 people from western Anbar province. He said the executed belonged to the tribes of the Karbala, the Salman, and the Abu Mahal. Most of them were from Abu Mahal, he noted. Also noting that the ISIS militants executed civilians accused of collaborating with the Iraqi security forces. And the president of the Anbar Provincial Council announced earlier this week, I believe it was on Wednesday, the launch of military operation named Anbar's grand operations, which is seeking to liberate all of the cities and regences of the entire province. And he emphasized that more than 10,000 tribal fighters would be participating in these operations. So just putting that number out there, the 10,000 tribal fighters, we had that report yesterday from the Pentagon, said that earlier this week we had, in fact, sent Iraq enough military equipment for roughly 10,000 people. So I wonder if those are the same 10,000 people. And again, I'm totally in support of that. I'm sick of this ISIS thing, and I'm ready to see the whole Middle East calm down, specifically Iraq. I would really like to see those people get a little bit of peace over there. We've been talking quite a bit about the Iran-Israel, you know, back and forth going on. There's been a lot of grandstanding on both sides, but the Iranian president said yesterday that Tehran will not sign a final nuclear deal unless economic sanctions against the country are lifted first. Again, we've talked about this kind of going back and forth on the American side when they said, yes, there was going to be an easement of the sanctions, both from the United States and also from the EU. But Iran was like, okay, is this going to be a gradual thing? Because a gradual thing is just not something that they're going to be agreeing with here. So again, they go on, president of Tehran goes on to say, we will not sign any deal unless all sanctions are lifted on the same day. We want a win-win deal for all parties involved with the nuclear talks. And the president's comments kind of come as a blow to President Barack Obama's efforts to seal the deal to its opponents, both in the U.S. and abroad. The U.N. Security Council, the U.S. and the EU and several other countries have imposed several rounds against sanctions against Iran due to its controversial nuclear program, which, of course, we've talked quite a bit on the air about the fact that the information that led to the sanctions in the first place was given to the inspectors by Mossad, and it turns out that that probably wasn't really the right information to begin with. But anyway, lifting the sanctions in exchange for scaling down of nuclear enrichment activities and a degree of international control over the Iranian nuclear industry is at the core of the deal. And agreeing exact terms on how quickly the sanctions will be lifted and how the program will be curtailed was a tough task for the nuclear negotiators. So again, not really sure that we're out of the woods right yet on this thing. They did kick the can down the road to June. But one of the things that Rouhani said during this little speech is that they are not going to allow anything to go past June. We're basically at make it or break it point right now. If we can't iron out these details, they're going to take everything off the board. But again, you know, they've come to and left the negotiation table several times in the past. So again, this could just be more bluffing. You just don't even know. Also wanted to point out that China is gaining ground right now, and I mean that quite literally. New islands of white sand have appeared in the South China Sea, and while these islands typically rise up because of volcanic activity, these pieces of land are actually being built up by the Chinese dredgers dumping sand onto a coral reef. This work happens to be taking place in disrupted international waters along the Spratly Islands, and on the appropriately named Mischief Reef. Okay, China has long claimed ownership of this archipelago, which is strategically important and thought to be rich in oil and gas. But also the Philippines and Vietnam both claim ownership of this particular archipelago. Why can't I say that word? The satellite image on the bottom right, which you can see if you go to redpill.reports.com and check out the show section, you'll be able to see the land growth and that China is actually able to, has been able to pull off here, according to Reuters. Now, of course, this is not the first time that China has tried this strategy. Just last year, terrain was built up on a different reef in the Spratly Islands, which is why a lot of you guys are out there thinking, oh, JD's reading old stories. No, nay, never. I would not do that to you. This is a whole new set of islands that are popping up, very similar to the ones that China was building last year, possibly for the potential site of an airstrip. We don't really know. Anyway, that's what's going on around the world right now. Let's hop over into the national news. I've got one good story and from the land of the free and the home of the brave news here, and then it just divulges into weird stuff. I'm just going to kind of warn you guys up front here. Montana. Let's give some kudos to Montana. The Montana legislature did, in fact, pass the bill yesterday to limit the federal militarization of local police. This bill will heavily diminish the effect of federal surplus equipment programs that militarize local police. It was given its final approval by the Montana House yesterday. The vote was 79-20. This was introduced by Representative Nicholas Schwawatter. He is a Republican from Superior. And this was House Bill 330. It banned state and local enforcement agencies from receiving drones that are armored, weaponized, or both, aircraft that are combat configured or combat coded, grenades or similar explosives, and grenade launchers, silencers, militarily armed vehicles, et cetera, ad nauseum, from federal military surplus programs. So this bill is great because it was passed 46-1 in the Senate last month. We had that story, and it will now go to the governor's desk where he is expected to sign it. Also last month, just as a side note, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie signed a bill into law that, while is not as comprehensive as the Montana bill, did make his state the first to take a step against the federal militarization of police. So that's good things coming to the state of Montana. I do not understand why all of the states that are surrounding me keep doing all these awesome things, and yet Missouri just sitting here languishing in 1984, apparently. Okay. That was it. That was it for the good news, I think, for the land of the free. Let's move on to the weird stuff. Remember that one time when we went to war in the Middle East and it was totally easy? We didn't spend $1 billion and that we didn't kill 1 million people? Me neither. But apparently Tom Cotton, apparently, remember the guy who said that Iran was rampaging through the Middle East, and the most clear evidence of that was the fact that they had control of Tehran, their own capital. Yeah, that guy, Tom Cotton, a representative from Arkansas. He's a Republican also. He came out in the news yesterday. Really, I mean, you already know where he's going with this. He wants to pursue military strikes. Of course, who does he want to pursue military strikes against? He wants to pursue military strikes against Iran. And he also believes, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a war, this war with Iran. Let's not forget the fact that they're like four times the size of Iraq here. He thinks we could probably win this war in just a couple of days, right? Okay. Somebody voted for this guy. Just putting that out there. Senator Tom Cotton, obviously citing in this delusion about winning a war in just a couple of days, probably citing the mostly forgotten December 1998 U.S. war on Iraq as the model, saying that the U.S. won after several days of attacking Iraq for disobeying Security Council revolutions. But the reason the war is mostly forgotten is because it killed just a couple thousand people. It didn't resolve anything. It was basically just a brief escalation amid sanctions that killed far more, and the U.S. actually attacked Iraq falsely in 1998 over weapons of mass destruction, and then kept harping on about it for about 4.5 more years until 2003, when we did invade and occupy, and that was similarly launched over false claims of weapons of mass destruction. But anyway, it hardly seems a model for anything, but Cotton, Mr. Tom Cotton, is keen for Obama to follow the example of Bill Clinton and just kill a couple thousand of the Iranians, just to show them that the U.S. is serious. Can somebody please get this guy out of office? I mean, seriously, I thought he would have been run out of town on a rail after talking about Tehran the other day. What an idiot that guy is. Speaking of, I gotta say, okay, at first I heard this and I thought, man, we're like knee deep in idiot zone right now, right? But the more I think about this particular bill that's getting ready to go through, the more I am 1,000% in support of it. So don't start shooting me nasty emails here yet, guys. Just follow my logic on this, okay? Truth is also, man, Truth, I don't know if you're just like buried in the economic news today or what, buddy, but I am totally, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of chatters in the chat room. And if you guys aren't in the chat room, you're going to miss about half the show because there's a lot of great commentary that goes on. We've got the best listeners in the world on Truth Frequency, I swear to God. But Truth is asking, where did Greece get the money to repay the IMF? And I was going to ask that question. I was kind of wondering if it was going to be full of diamonds and rubies and things like that from that little bank heist in England. But what I heard was that that was not the case. So when I talked to Andrew yesterday off air, he told me that they had not made the payment to the IMF and in fact kicked the can down the road. But RT today is telling me that they did make the payment. So again, I'm glad we've got somebody who is an economic expert coming on to the program. Okay. Getting away from the chat room for a second. I have to talk about this legislation, guys. This is really important and I think you're going to like this. Representative Rosa DeLauro, she's a Democrat from Connecticut. She is set to introduce a bill, you guys are going to love this, that will grant a tax credit to gun owners for turning in their assault weapons. If you turn your assault weapon into the state, this bill is going to give you upwards to $2,000 in tax credit. It is called the Support Assault Firearm Elimination and Education of Our Streets Acts. It wants gun owners to contact wants gun owners to contractually hand in their firearms to state, federal, and local officials. She goes on to say some really delusional things. She says assault weapons are not about hunting or self-defense, which I would obviously disagree with there. And she also said there's no reason on earth, other than to kill as many people as possible in a short amount of time, that anyone needs a gun designed for a battlefield. I would highly caution her and just remind her that I think under George Bush, we did actually declare the United States as a battlefield, and self-defense is exactly why we do need rifles, because you people all have rifles. And by you people, I mean all those people that, you know, the alphabet agencies, agents of corporations, things like that. Okay, Wood, I hear your point, man. I wouldn't give up a gun for 10 grand. I get you. You might have a much nicer rifle. $2,000 worth of credit, guys, for every gun. How much? Let's just play this out. How much does one of those ghost gunner machines cost, right? About $1,000. You buy it once, you're done. I would be willing to bet, even barring that initial purpose of the ghost gunning machine, that I could build a quality AR or a Bushmaster for about $600 or $700. There is a business model to be had here, ladies and gentlemen. I would support this just for the fact that I bet you I could make 10 grand a month pumping out weapons from my home. It also should be, I want to point out here too that semi-automatic pistols, shotguns, semi-automatic rifles are also labeled under assault weapons and qualify for the tax credit. You can make a gun for like $50, guys. I mean, seriously. I mean, not that I would ever recommend anybody do that, and certainly I don't want to encourage anybody to go to YouTube or try and figure out how you could skirt this issue, but $2,000 for a Bushmaster that you can buy for $700 used online. Oh, do it in the name of an LLC, start a company, start creating guns, sell them out of your home, you'll never have to work again. I would support this legislation just to point out how stupid the people in Washington actually are. Obviously, this bill's not going to go anywhere. But again, I think if it does pass, anybody wants to get in touch with me, let's get a business model going here, because I think that there's some profit to be made here right now. Also, just another indication of how stupid it is out here in the United States. Rand Paul apparently is ahead in the polls over Hillary Clinton. Why we even have either of those people in any polls boggles my mind. I don't want to discourage anybody to go out and vote. If you feel like you need a master, please, by all means, vote for a master. But I would ask the question, at what point in history has a for-profit corporation ever used a popular election to elect a CEO? It's never, ever happened. Hey, Kev Baker, just hopping into the chat room. So nice to see you this morning, guys. All of you guys in the chat room. Man, we are filling up today. Appreciate you guys being in here. Best network ever. We're going to be right back. We got to go to the 3-minute break. We've got a lot more news to cover when we get back. And then Andrew Gauz is going to be joining us in the second hour. Keep it right here, guys. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute
absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Radio with Brooks Atkins.
Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break, and thank all of you guys hanging out in the chat room. We got Kev Baker in there this morning. I don't know when this guy sleeps, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta tell you, the man is just a myth and a legend. I don't know what's going on with this guy. and as a side note, not next week, but the week following, Kev Baker will be on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. For the whole 2 hours, we're going to go over news, and it's going to be just super awesome. So I'll keep you guys in the loop more when that's going to happen here in the future. But I'm so excited. I saw that in the calendar today and just totally freaked out. Okay, let's move back into the news because, as I said, I'm trying to trim the fat, get you guys moving through all this stuff, keeping you guys up to date. But the Quinnipiac University swing state poll did, in fact, put Mr. Rand Paul ahead of Hillary Clinton. Of course, Hillary Clinton has yet to actually come out and say she's going to run for president. God help us all if she decides to do that. Rand Paul right now leading against her in Colorado, also in Iowa right now. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Again, you know, I'm not going to come on here and tell you that you should or should not support any of these individual candidates. I'm not a fan of Rand Paul in any way, shape, or form because, ladies and gentlemen, I am a libertarian. I believe in liberty and freedom, and a lot of the things that he believes in don't qualify. And I'm really a big fan of his father, and I really wish his father had won and would continue to run. But I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. So, again, if you guys need a master, by all means, feel free to vote for one. I'm perfectly content self-governing, and I don't, again, believe that a for-profit corporation is ever going to actually use a public election to nominate a CEO because it's never happened before, and it's never going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So until we get away from the corporate side of the government, it's pretty much doomed. It's just a big show at this point. We had the story, I think yesterday, about Los Angeles basically trying to tighten the reins on homeless population there, trying to create some new ordinances to disallow them from sleeping in their vehicles. But right now, California looks like they have been able to find, we're talking about Los Angeles County here specifically too. Los Angeles County looks like it has been able to find some loopholes in the current legislation. So they're not going to be pushing forward with new legislation. According to the KPCC, the city right now has found two different loopholes in this particular bill that has already been passed. And one amendment provides a narrower definition of living in a vehicle, and it will prevent parking between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. And the second proposal would provide a limited number of quote-unquote permits to homeless people, allowing them to park in non-designated residential areas. So again, the war against humanity raging in Los Angeles County right now. And to be honest, if people are trying to get back on their feet, if they're lucky enough to have a car to sleep in, I mean, given the fact that holy cow, we'll get into some economic news, and I'll give you some pretty startling economic indicators that just show you exactly where we are in the United States today. You know, you can go longer without food and water than you can without sleep, ladies and gentlemen. And sleep is one of those things that keeps you healthy. It allows you to be, you know, cogent in your mind. And if we're going to eliminate these people from being able to actually sleep, who in the world is going to be able to pull through that and still be able to pick themselves up, you know, by the bootstraps, which is kind of one of those myths of the American dream here, and carry on? Well, it's just not going to happen. So again, we're outlawing essentially humanity in Los Angeles County. Here's another awesome bill. You guys have to get on top of this. I hope I have people listening in Oregon right now. Oregon, you guys have a problem because this is another slippery slope. Oregon right now, the legislative session is getting ready to start, and they're looking at quite a few bills coming down the pipe. One of them I kind of agree with, but this one, holy cow, ladies and gentlemen, this is called State Bill 177. If you're in Oregon, you need to be involved with this. Oregon is unlike, you know, it's one of those states. I talked to some of my friends here in the chat room that I think somebody out here lives in Portland, which I have lived in Portland. It's my third favorite city in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely beautiful. I lived in the Rose District downtown. Just absolutely beautiful. Second only to Seattle, which in my mind is second only to Vancouver, BC, as far as beautiful, beautiful. You ever been to Victoria? Oh, buddy, you're talking about as good as it gets. But one of the situations with states like Washington State and also states like Oregon, you've got these people who have these massive population centers, like Seattle would be King County, right, in Olympia area. And all of the rules come out of those areas, but they affect the entire state. So you got people all the way over in, like, Spokane, Washington, that have got to deal with rules that are being laid out by people who have no idea what the hell is going on. Portland is another one of these situations. Oregon, you know, gets a lot of rules statewide that come out of Portland, and for no reason, really, whatsoever. But this one, this is something that I'm afraid of, and I don't like this at all. Anyway, State Bill 177 in Oregon will require everyone who is 18 years or older and who wants to own a bicycle to get a bicycle license. Yes, you need to register your bike and get a license to operate your bicycle in Portland. So the slippery slope towards socialism happening also in Portland, not just in Seattle. So obviously advocacy groups like the Bicycle Transportation Alliance has come out with a statement saying this is absolutely ludicrous. The Bicycle Transportation Alliance again opposes Senate Bill 177, which would require any adult in Oregon who rides a bicycle to register the bike and acquire a license to use it. Ample research has shown that most or all of the revenue raised from a bike tax would go towards administering the very tax itself and not towards tangible safety or roadway projects that benefit bicycles. So riding a bicycle should obviously be accessible and convenient for everyone, and they oppose any new financial barriers or taxation on riding a bicycle. Because once they do this, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have a license to own shoes. You're going to have a license. You're going to have to register. You're probably going to have to insure your Nikes so that if they do damage to the city infrastructure, like the sidewalk, you're going to probably have a fine. So again, I am vehemently opposed to this. I don't even think you need a driver's license because, well, I read, ladies and gentlemen, and that's one of those things. I'm pretty sure my motorized vehicle isn't a motorized vehicle because, again, I read, ladies and gentlemen. But the fact that they're going to try and make bicycling something that you've got to get a license for in Portland, again, State Bill 177, please get involved with this, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely crazy. Speaking of crazy, also, there was a shooting last night at the U.S. Census Bureau in Suitland, Maryland. It has left one man dead, and police did apprehend the suspected gunman shortly after on Thursday evening in a car chase that turned into a shootout and ended in Northeast Washington, D.C. The victim of the Census Bureau shooting has been identified as 39-year-old Lawrence Bunker. This was according to NBC 4 News. Pardon me here. He was a security guard there at the Census Bureau, and police say that he was shot in his upper body. He was clinging to life when this story broke last night, but he has unfortunately since died. And after this car crash, after a car chase that involved numerous police vehicles, the suspected gunman was shot by authorities several times. His condition right now is still unclear. So according to NBC4, police say the dramatic series of events started when a suspected kidnapper kidnapped his wife near the T Street in Washington, D.C. and made his way towards the Census Bureau, though it is unclear if his wife was with him the entire time. She was found safe later, according to police. And once the suspect's car arrived at the Census building, Buckner, reportedly saw the gunman arguing with somebody and approached, only to be shot in the chest. And after driving away from the building, police gave chase. The suspect reportedly fired on pursuing officers. Police were able to intercept the gunman's green Honda by blocking the roads with their vehicles. The Honda then collided with police cars in northeast D.C. And the car chase through D.C. ended with police shooting the suspect in the head on H Street, and this was according to the Washington Post this morning. Three officers were also wounded in the incident, though their injuries were not life-threatening. The suspected shooter was first reported to have been barricaded inside the building, causing a lot of confusion as to whether or not the police chase and the incident at the Census building were in fact related. And meanwhile, the LA Times reporter Ryan Parker said that the FBI stated the situation was over and that the gunman was never barricaded in the Census building. So again, is that true? Who really knows? You know, again, the initial report saying that that guy was barricaded in the building, coming out to be not the case, according to the fine folks at the FBI. That's right. Let's move in here to some economic news right now, real quick. Man, we're doing good on time today. I feel like we're going to get all the way through the health stuff today. That's my hope here, guys. The Dow right now currently up about 100 points, 18,050. S&P also up just a touch today at 2,094. The dollar index is rising this morning, 99.59. Almost to the 100 mark there, and the euro falling just about the same amount. We're down to 106.09, so again, only about 6 cents away from parity there between the euro and the dollar. Baltic Dry, my feed is dead. I'm showing 583. Perhaps Truth has got a Baltic Dry. He's saying something right now, but I can't read that fast. Too much going on there. Gold is up right now, $13. Still right at basically at that 1200 mark though. $1,206 for gold. $16.48 big pennies will get you an ounce of silver. The crude oil game is pretty flat right now also. $51.36 big cents will get you a big shiny barrel of oil. And the Bitcoin taking a little bit of a dive this morning, 232. I don't really know what in the world is going on with Bitcoin, because there seems to be still a lot more good news coming out about Bitcoin. Truth is saying, again, no new BDI indicator since the 8th. He's showing 580. I'm also showing a flat feed right now, but we're at 583. So that's between 580 and 583 for your BDI there, guys. Okay. Here's a big story also coming out of New York right now. I'm not going to get too into this entire deal here, but essentially the city managers are taking a closer look at the pension programs, and the party is basically over. The New York pensions in the last 10 years have only earned about $40 million. That's 40 M with an M. Million with an M, as in money. Okay? They've earned $40 million over 10 years. They have paid the fund managers in bonuses and fees. Again, they earned $40 million for pensioners in the last 10 years. They have paid fund managers $2 billion. B, that's billion with a B. Right? As in, boy, that is a lot of money. Fees, and what are they getting for it? Nothing. So eventually, right now, essentially, the people who are in charge of the pensions in New York are peeved to the max right now. They started to actually look into some of the numbers and realize they are getting ripped off big time, ladies and gentlemen, big time. So that's what's going on there. Hopping over into this Greece situation, the Eurozone deputy finance minister has now set another six-day deadline for Athens to revise some of their proposals. But Greece has apparently met the deadline, and they did transfer 448 million euros to the International Monetary Fund, calming the fears that Athens could soon leave the euro. We're not out of the woods here yet, just saying. This tranche of 448 million euros has been delivered to the IMF, according to the Greek news agency, ANA, referring to senior sources in the Greek finance ministry. The money was transferred despite rumors the country would not manage to do it on time, which could push the country out of the eurozone. So this payment comes as Prime Minister Tsipras was in Moscow on his two-day official visit. We talked about that quite a bit. And on Thursday, he said the main objective of the Greek government is to keep the country in the eurozone and to find a common European solution to its financial problems. So again, the European deputy finance ministers have set up a six-day deadline for Athens to revise and reform their proposals in order to increase the possibility of unlocking bailout aid at a Eurogroup meeting on the 24th of April. So Athens has already submitted this 26-page reform list, criticized again by the IMF and the EU negotiators for being too vague and the measures not being concrete enough. So here's where we are really fundamentally with Greece right now. So having paid off the 448 million euros in debt to the IMF, Greece now has another 768 million failing due in May. Okay, so we got 1 month now they're going to have almost twice as much due in May. Should the Greek finance ministers manage to fulfill those obligations and the EU actually approves the reforms proposed by the Greek finance minister there, the troika of international creditors represented by the IMF, the Euro Central Bank, the European Commission, they're all expected to allocate another 7.2 billion in euros to Athens to negotiate the restructuring of its external debt by June. So we have a May deadline and we have a June deadline. We're not out of the woods yet in this whole Greece situation here. So just keeping us on the ball with that. Switzerland, we got some news out of Switzerland too. They have become the first country ever to auction off 10-year bonds with a negative yield. This is the country fighting their own risk of deflation right now. So the Swiss Federal Treasury on Wednesday sold 232.501 million Swiss francs, which equates to about $242 million worth of bonds, maturing in early January of 25 at a yield of negative 0.055%. This bond carries a 1.5% interest rate. And by issuing the 10-year debt that gives investors a yield under 0%, the Swiss government has effectively made investors pay for the privilege of lending to it for such a long period. Swedish and Danish debt carry negative yields out to about 5 years, and even Japanese 10-year bonds have never gone negative, considering the country has been battling its own deflation since 1990. So again, more negativer. That's what's going on in Switzerland right now, and the first time ever in history that the country has paid 10-year bond notes with a negative interest rate. Just unbelievable. I wanted to talk to Kevin about this story too. I'm glad he's still in the chat room. This is a weird story to me. The UK oil and gas investments claim they found up to 100 billion barrels of oil beneath Gatwick Airport. What? They believe it could be worth more than 300 billion francs or pounds. And however, they also say the discovery and its scale are yet to be independently verified. So again, the UKOG said the drilling in this 55 square mile site has uncovered 158 million barrels per square mile across the south of England. They think it's a very significant discovery, probably the largest in the last 30 years. They also think it has national significance. It is a world-class potential resource and has potential for significant daily oil production. Based on what they found there, they're looking at between 50 and 100 billion barrels of oil in place in the ground. One thing that they did say, though, is that they only believe between 10 and 15% are actually going to be able to recover, be recovered from that area. So, you know, in economic news, while we're thinking about all of these countries getting ready to move to asset-backed currencies, right, and getting away from the draconian central banks and actually getting back to issuing their own money, we'll talk about this with Andrew here in a little while. But you have to wonder if this discovery, A, because I don't think you just happen to discover, you know, 100 billion barrels of oil under Gatwick Airport without having maybe had a little bit of pre-knowledge about that. Could this be kind of like a reservoir out there bumping up their asset sheets here real quick at the last minute? I don't know. I just saw that and I thought, man, that's really, really wild that they just randomly came out and said, oh, we've got enough oil to basically support 30% of the oil industry here in the UK going forward. Energy independence for the UK, anybody? I don't know. And that kind of makes you wonder too, Kev, about stepping away as far as Scotland goes, because, you know, if you guys are part of the UK, then part of that oil is going to be yours, you know, so I don't know if that plays into this idea of separation from the UK in terms of Scotland. Just putting it out there also. I want to go over some quick points. Just, these are just some little tally mark here, guys. So just getting you guys another idea of where we're actually at economically here in the United States right now. And I would imagine that some of these statistics are probably very similar to what we would find overseas as well. Kevin saying Scotland is doomed. I hear you there. I hear you there. We're right there with you, Kev. I mean, we're all doomed, brother. We're all doomed. That's why we do this. That's why we do this. Try and keep people abreast of what's going on, because right now it's just about preserving value. We're not here to scare the socks off you guys, and we're certainly not here to be Chicken Little telling you that the sky is falling, but indicators economically are that you guys need to find a place to put your value right now. Next 5 months are going to be very crucial. Okay, I want to go over just some of these points again, some startling statistics about the United States, just to put this into perspective, and then we'll move on to some science and tech stuff here real quick. The poorest 40% of Americans now spend more than 50% of their incomes just on food and housing. That is actually nearer to 60%. So again, if you're in the 40th lowest percentile of the Americans in terms of wealth, you're spending about 60% of your income just on food and housing. For those Americans that don't own a home, 50% of them spend more than a third of their incomes just on rent. The price of school lunches has risen to the $3 mark at many public schools across the nation. I was not aware of that. The price of ground beef has doubled since 2009. It is about $4.25 per pound right now. Incomes fell for the bottom 80% of all income earners in the United States during the 12 months leading up to June of 2014. At this point, more than 50% of all American workers bring home less than $30,000 a year. According to the New York Times, the typical American household is now worth 36% less than it was a decade ago. 47% of all Americans do not put a single penny out of their paychecks into savings, and one survey actually found that 62% of Americans are currently living paycheck to paycheck. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 33% of all Americans with student loans are currently behind on their student loan repayments, and according to one report, 43 million Americans, that's almost one in six, currently have unpaid medical debt on their credit reports. The rate of home ownership in the U.S. has been declining for 7 years in a row, and it is now the lowest that it has ever been. It's the lowest it's been in the last 20 years. And for each of the past 6 years, more businesses have closed in the United States than they have opened. Prior to 2008, this has never happened before in all of U.S. history. According also to the Census Bureau, 65% of all children in the United States are living at a home that receives some form of aid from the federal government. Here's the big one. If you have no debt at all and you also have $10 in your wallet, you are wealthier than 25% of all Americans. And just to top everything else off, the American worker on average must work from January 1st to April 24th just to pay all of the federal, state, and local taxes. Good times, ladies and gentlemen. Truth brought up that story about Walgreens. I'll just touch on that again here. Walgreens is planning on closing about 200 stores as part of their first earnings report. They announced this yesterday. But again, they are the largest U.S. drugstore chain. They're going to be closing stores amid plans to boost their previously announced cost-cutting initiative by $500 million. But again, this is only about 2% of Walgreens 8,232 stores in the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Again, they don't know which stores they're going to be closing or when, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad deal. And shareholders obviously agreeing with me. The shares jumped actually about 6% on news of these closures, up settling at about $92 per share there in Walgreens. So that's what's going on in your economic news right now. Oh, we're doing great on time today. Let's jump on to some science and tech stuff right now. Big report from the FBI. The FBI issued some warnings this week that hackers sympathetic to the Islamic State will be using WordPress plugin vulnerabilities to compromise website. According to the FBI, these individuals are hackers using relatively unsophisticated methods to exploit technical vulnerabilities and are utilizing the ISIL name to gain more notoriety than the underlying attack would have otherwise garnished. So again, if you have a WordPress document on the web out there, the FBI warning now that it might be taken over by ISIS. Although in January, ISIS allegedly attacked the U.S. Central Command Twitter feed and a Twitter account from the group identifying itself as Anonymous. And on Monday, they said that they had tracked the source of that hack all the way back to Maryland. Just as a reminder, that's actually where the National Security Agency calls its home, ladies and gentlemen. Also, the State Department right now put out a request for information. They are looking for some sort of system that will allow them to identify visual factors in your passport photos. They're trying to get to the bottom of whether or not your photo on your passport is legitimate or not, and they're looking for some face scanning software that they can run passport photos through to see if there's been any kind of alteration, any costumes being worn, any goofy shadow lines, things like that. But face recognition software moving towards the Bureau of Census Affairs, which, of course, is in charge of your passports. So just kind of putting that out there right now. I want to talk a little bit about 8 awesome libertarian apps that are available if you guys are into the app scene. Again, we had a great discussion with Gary Milieski about how to know if your app that you're getting ready to put on your phone is safe or not. So I would highly recommend people go back and check out that show on Monday. There's some pretty key things to check. Both all of these apps I've looked at, and they all seem pretty legitimate to me. But if you're a libertarian like myself, you might like, I don't know, potentially living in a little bit freer world. So you might utilize some of these apps for that. WAZ is a good one, W-A-Z-E. It is a real-time crowdsourced map that not only tells you about traffic jams and finds the cheapest nearby gas stations, but it also warns you of speed traps, police checkpoints, and ticket cams. And the info is so good on WAZ right now that the National Sheriff's Association is actually pressuring the app to shut it down. So that might be something that you guys want to get involved with. One of my favorite also is Open Whisper Systems Red Phone and Text Secure. They both provide easy end-to-end encryption for cell phone calls, text messages, and chats. And if you're on Apple iOS, you can look for one called Signal. That's another one that does end-to-end encryption. Meerkat and Periscope allow you to live stream everything from your kid's soccer game to police stops all the way directly to Twitter. And the only thing blocking these apps is that they're apparently only available on Apple's iOS right now. So again, if you're on iOS, Meerkat and Periscope will allow you to tweet live time directly to Twitter. So if you have some sort of interaction that you'd like to get on film and let everybody know about, Meerkat and Periscope. The Peacekeeper Emergency Response System. This is one that I really, really like because it cultivates benevolence and independence in communities. It allows you to create your own personal emergency response network. You know, so you go onto your phone, you say, if this happens, I want these people contacted. I want my neighbors contacted. I want my kids. I want my family. I want everybody who needs to know what's going on here, because those are the people who are going to come to your aid. Remember, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away, ladies and gentlemen, right? So just, I really like that Peacekeeper Emergency Response System as well. Be another great app that I think you guys should probably get down with. And then Uber, of course, has got to be the most amazing app out there right now. If I lived in the city and had a car, I would definitely be a part-time Uber driver right now. We're not going to make it to the health news because I want to talk, well, let's see. Yeah, we're not going to make it to the health news. We almost made it through the news. Again, a process of continual improvement. That's what we're trying to bring for you guys here on the program. And we're just going to keep working to get it better and better. But I wanted to talk on this one particular issue right now because I do like technology that I think is going to change the world. And it does seem like everything is becoming smart these days, but sometimes there's a new breakthrough. Kind of makes you stand up and take notice. The specific one that we're talking about right now involves smart glass. And this is not the smart glass on your cell phone, like the Corning Gorilla Glass and the shatterproof stuff. This actually means that glass has got some special properties, which in and of itself is not really anything new. But a team of researchers have developed a new type of smart glass containing materials that enable the triboelectric effect, which captures energy inherent in static electricity, to occur when two different materials collide. In other words, this glass not only changes color, but it creates electricity as well. Now, this is not the same thing. We talked a little bit about, maybe a couple of weeks ago, about the crystal clear solar panels that they're coming up with now. Very cool idea, and hopefully will take hold and go, you know, off to create a new environmental reality for all of us. But this is not that. This is a little bit different. Again, the idea behind this glass is pretty simple. Once the glass is subjected to the elements, like rain and heavy winds, when those things collide with glass, you have your necessary two materials for the triboelectric effect. This team developed a dual layer of glass to harness it. And I'm not going to go through exactly how this stuff works, but it is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, as affected by wind and rain. So you have one side of your house now covered with clear photovoltaic, you know, solar cells. You can have the other side that's affected by wind also generating power. And this thing has already got enough power just in the glass to charge yourself. Wow, very cool stuff. We got to go to this break, you guys. We come back. Andrew Goss will be here. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you guys in just a second.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
No hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFR. Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. It is Friday. It's my favorite day of the week, and it's honestly the best part of my day is getting to spend this time with you guys out there in radio land, and especially all of you guys in the chat room right now. Holy cow, this is probably the fullest chat room that we've ever had on the program, and I have no doubt is because everybody's tuning in today to hear one of my very favorite people on planet Earth, Mr. Andrew Goss. Now, Andrew Goss has joined us many, many times on the program, and we talk a lot about economics, but his expertise is that of numismatics, so which is talking about the grading of precious metal coins and things like that. He's also a monetary historian and has a very unique perspective about everything that's going on in the world right now, and for those of us out here trying to figure out exactly what the heck is going on, he is an amazing resource, and we are very thankful that he can take some time out of his schedule. He does have a full-time job, ladies and gentlemen, so he actually is avoiding work by spending some time with us this morning. So anyway, Andrew, thank you very much for once again joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Hey, it's my favorite place to be, too. I hope my mom was listening to that question. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, that's a true story, man. I mean, honestly, we always seem to have the most fun chatting with stuff, chatting about things, even though the world just seems to get crazier and crazier every time we chat. You know, Andrew, one of the things that's been kind of bothering me a lot lately, in terms of what's going on in the world, is that those of us people out here, like yourself and like myself, who've been paying attention to the economic game for quite a long time, especially if you go all the way back to, you know, the 9/11 incident that wakes everybody up and to kind of come into the realization that everything is essentially fake and the Fed is fake and the money is fake. And we're kind of, there's been about, what, 15 years now, if not more, of people really kind of saying, oh, the collapse is imminent, right? We're at the cusp. Something bad is going to happen. There's going to be the dollar collapse and all of these things. And I'm worried that we're kind of in this boat right now where we could all be kind of qualified as chicken littles running around with our, you know, saying, oh, the sky is going to fall. The sky is going to fall. But fundamentally, right now, we really are in a very transitional phase in a way that I don't think a lot of people are really paying attention to. We've got 57 countries now, as far as I know from yesterday, that have signed up with this AIIB, right? There is going to be a change to the value of our currency. Whether or not it happens today or tomorrow, it's going to happen, don't you think, Andrew? And I think this is something that we need to really start driving home because, you know, I think this guy may actually be fooling Andrew here pretty soon, you know?
Right. Well, the table that I saw of a child, right, the Chicken Little, was certainly one of them. And the boy who cried wolf was clearly another. When I started getting this situation, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. But we were flying, we were paying banners around and heard, And certainly those who, like related Brown and a good friend of the late many of my elders at the time were teaching the same which our trouble with and I am 40 years with wishing this unfold. And
we lose Andrew. Hang on a second here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see if I can get him back on the horn here because we may have lost him. 1 second here, guys. Live radio. See, sometimes when you're talking about important things, they don't want to hear about the stuff. We'll see if we get him back on. Dialing. One thingy.
Hey there.
Wow, I think we might actually be back. Can you guys hear me out? And you, Andrew, you can hear me okay?
I hear you. Was it something I said?
I don't think it was something you said, brother. I'm not sure what happened. Just the entire network seemed to have gone offline there for just a second. So hopefully everybody's hearing us out in radio land once again. I apologize about that, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes live radio is just that exciting. So anyway, it appears that we are back. We're getting it. We're back. Okay. Andrew, I have no idea where we were. Do you want to pick it up?
We were talking about the dollar rotation. I was merely saying that for the last 40 years that I've been involved in this, people like Dr. Gary North and Doug Casey and Howard Ruff, these were from a generation ago, folks that were making the very same point that the world is tired of the dollar and they're going to switch to something else and we had better be on guard. Mm-hmm. So, are we hearing the same thing over and over? Well, yeah, the old line, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Right.
Certainly the intent for a single world currency and a single world government are there, documented. We've been being herded towards that since 1880, when they tried to line up the monetary systems. So here we are, 120 plus years later.
Right.
And the very same people are, same institutions are hard at it. One world currency, one world government, and a single unified business community.
Go team. I'm excited for all. I don't know about you. But here's the thing, is that this isn't really speculation anymore. I mean, we're looking at an alternative to the Swiss system being built. We're looking at 57 nations joining an Asian infrastructure bank. We're looking at them trying to pull some of the power away from the IMF. I mean, those are pretty startling transitory those are things that are actually happening right now. It's not conjecture at this point, right?
Oh, indeed, yeah. And, the thing is, it's like they've waited too long. If you look at dollars, the share of world trade is greater than 70%. If you look at world reserves in dollar terms, greater than 80%. We had Jamie Dimon running around talking about how there's a shortage of treasury bonds for people to put their money into. So, the dollar has become so cemented as the single world currency that's good in just about every country in the world that it's hard to dislodge it. And I'm happy to see these moves taking place, but I just wonder if it's too little too late.
Right. Well, let's talk about what's actually going to be happening here right now. Because to me, we've had all this conjecture about potentially moving to asset-backed currencies across the board. And I really do fundamentally feel like that's what's going to happen. That's what the renminbi signs are showing me on the billboards. Everybody is trying to move to an asset-backed currency. And that's my fear. Where I'm coming down on this whole thing is that, A, we've watched the destruction of basically the asset class here in the United States. Because what was it? What did we have? We had energy. That's gone now. Thanks, OPEC. And we had agriculture, which is also being destroyed in California as we speak, potentially by agenda as far as I'm concerned. So we don't really have any assets left to speak of. And if the entire world is going to basically transition to asset-backed, my two concerns are that, A, we're going to allow the Fed to stay in power and that the Fed is going to somehow be in charge of the assets that we allow them to link to our dollars or, mm-hmm. Because that, I don't want that to happen. Obviously, any of the assets that we have in the United States need to fall back under the Treasury. There's also the idea that the Treasury notes are going to come out and we're going to see this transition from away from the Federal Reserve notes to some sort of asset-backed Treasury note. So I'm kind of wondering if you feel like that in terms of the transition that's taking place globally is exactly what's going to happen here in the United States or which one of those two things. And what do we need to be aware of in order to, if those things are going to happen, to preserve our wealth through, because it isn't really about, getting rich off of this thing. It's about being able to buy food after the fact if they decide to cut the value of the Treasury note, by a thousand percent or something like that, which has happened in history. So I'm just trying to figure out exactly what you think might happen, what kind of timeline we're looking at, and what the actual logistics of the switch if we do decide to go to an asset. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to keep up with the rest of the world, are we not?
Well, this is a problem for the rest of the world, right? Because from our perspective, the dollar has replaced gold from the world's perspective. So what they hold as their reserves are dollars. And we don't have such a problem because our Federal Reserve creates them, and then, boom, they get sucked out of this country.
Okay.
There's five times as many dollars circulating outside the country as there are inside. So we export our inflation. But for the rest of the world, it's a huge problem. Look at Venezuela. Look at Russia. They've taken on all this debt denominated in dollars,
mm-hmm.
and the dollar is now worth twice as much as it was when they did. and the value of their economies has fallen in half. So they're so behind the eight ball as a result of being forced to gather these dollars in order to pay these loans that they're in desperate straits, and those sometimes require desperate measures.
Okay.
So could it be something, but let's back up a step, fiduciary money versus commodity money. See, it doesn't matter if your currency is backed by gold or backed by chickens or whatever. If it's still, you're going to issue a certificate, and the person that gets the certificate is now going to have to go and try to collect the chickens. Whether or not you have the chickens is really the question. And so if it's a new asset-backed currency, let's say that China comes out with a paper currency that's backed by gold, great. How long is that guarantee going to last? How long can we be sure that when we go to trade our paper Chinese currency and they're going to give us the gold that's promised on the piece of paper? We don't know. So for me, unless we're going to make a return to commodity money, not fiduciary money, not gold-backed and fiduciary. See, there's a huge difference.
Right.
It is, you know, it's now you're still trusting. Okay, I know it says on this certificate that there's an ounce of gold sitting in a vault somewhere and that I can trade this certificate in and get my gold. That's been done. It's been done so many times, and in every instance, the same thing happens. Whoever's issuing the money always issues more than they have gold and silver to back it up.
Okay.
It's just a fact of life. So, we, you know, it's almost like, as they say here in New York, you can't get there from here. Going back to a fiduciary money that's backed by gold will not be a solution to the problem because the chicanery will still be there. They'll still do exactly what they did in previous instances. They'll issue more paper than they actually have gold and silver to back it up.
Hmm.
So what I see happening instead is the, you know, the dollar is backed not by gold, not by silver, but by F-16s and Marines.
Right.
And so, you know, until there's something on the planet that can challenge the military might of the United States, and I would hope that this many years after the Iraq War, we don't think that it was about some poor Kuwaitis.
Right.
Or some civil rights action.
I'll tell
you
what,
some...
Tom Cotton still thinks that way. I'll give you that.
Well, it is true. There's a segment of the population out there that still believes that our army, our military, is used to fight to make the world safe for democracy, mm-hmm. but they're making the world safe for Dollar Inc. And so anybody who raises their head, like, let's say, oh, I don't know, who was that guy that used to run Libya? Yes. Yeah, look at what he did. You know, he
right.
improved the quality of life for his people. He was amassing gold to try to back up his currency with gold. And, yeah, there were human rights violations, but that's not the reason we attacked Libya.
No.
That's not the reason that those guys stopped in the middle of the desert in the first week and said, oh, we're starting a new central bank. And immediately every central bank in the world recognized these guys with the pickup trucks and the machine guns
right.
as being the central banking authority.
Well, legitimate authority.
So, you know, it is, in fact... We use our military to back our currency, and unless and until there's something that can stop us from doing that, unless there's some power that can put the Federal Reserve and its military arm in check, then I don't see a danger that the dollar will be dislodged from its position.
Are you familiar with the Shanghai Corporation organization, sir?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because to me, that seems like a pretty staunch adversary against NATO and dollar hegemony, you know?
Indeed it is, yeah. And of course, the buildup of the military in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So as anyone who has really studied world monetary history for hundreds, maybe thousands of years will tell you that wars are fought over money. That's what they're fought over.
Absolutely.
So if anyone thinks that the Federal Reserve and Dollar Inc. are going to just sit still and let somebody else take their 100-plus-year dynasty over, and they really haven't studied history, because I believe they will throw our military against anyone
mm-hmm.
who ultimately becomes a threat to the dollar.
Well, that's a scary proposition, because I really do believe fundamentally that Russia and China are over the games at this point and trying to get – I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that China has got nothing but altruistic motivations, because, again, you know, history. But at the same time, we also have that same history of imperialism with our country and with the Fed and things that. So it's – I guess it's a double-edged sword at this point, is it not?
It is. So now we have to look at the Alexander Hamilton model and say who's interested. So – from us, from our perspective in the USA, if we were to close our borders and stop exporting, so the rest of the country says, okay, the rest of the world says, we're not taking any American goods anymore. We're going to block America and they're not sending us any goods anymore. That would represent about 13% of our GDP.
Okay.
Now, if we said we're not importing any more Chinese goods, there goes 40% of their GDP.
Oh,
there
right.
goes 50% of Germany's GDP, 30% of France's GDP. You know, who's going to jump in the boat and say, all right, we're going to cut off our own nose in an altruistic method? And I believe that since Henry Ford, since Richard Nixon went to China and set up that Ford truck plant, when was that, 72?
Yeah, 73? I think 72. Mm-hmm.
The Chinese have been partners with the people who own and control the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. In fact, I believe most Americans would be surprised to find that the People's Republic of China is one of the owners of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Right.
And with that information, it takes on a different picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the United States and China have long been frenemies,
yes.
As the kids say, you know. But behind the scenes, they're all Swiss. And so to do something that would threaten China's own GDP, I think they would look for a replacement source before they did that. So one of the key things I keep an eye on is that level, the percentage of GDP that is export-related. And until China can close its borders and kind of run its own show, we talk about the Asia Infrastructure Bank at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, what is this? Well, it's a $50 billion capitalized entity that's going to be, rebuilding the old Silk Road.
Right.
Effectively, the program that, Lyndon LaRouche has been calling for 25 years.
Right.
So open Asia up to the rest of, Europe. By means of the old Silk Road. So that's bridges and tunnels and highways and so forth, which requires a tremendous amount of capital, but will again open China up for more exports. So I don't know that they're interested in crushing us, but in most certainly eliminating us as the middleman, and by us, of course, not we the people, but Fed Inc., they are doing everything they can to make alternate methods of currency transmission and goods transmission from country to country.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the name of the game right now, all the way across the board over there. And that's, I guess, for me, what it comes down to is, you know, what's to stop them from saying that, you know, we're happy to sell you our products and we don't want to affect our GDP, but we're moving to asset backed and we don't want your dollars anymore because they're not really backed by anything. I mean, you're saying that that's just
right.
not going to happen.
Well, it's again, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face, as mm-hmm. my mom used to say, right? So it's like 30% of our GDP is stuff that we sell to Walmart, and I'm speaking as China now.
Right.
are we going to go and make it so that Congress decides to remove our most favored nation status? Because we allow the Chinese to sell all their goods and services here, and then take the money back home with zero tax.
Right.
And so we wouldn't even have to send the Marines. All we'd have to do is eliminate their most favored nation status and start a strict tariff on imported Chinese goods. And I would say they would do anything we told them to do. But I would point out once again that I believe, and this is the basis for a great deal of my thought, that the people that own and control China are in partnership with the people that own and control Dollar Inc.,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it together. So they're not going to do anything that makes it impossible to do business with each other.
Okay. And then we had talked a little bit last time you were on the air about the expansion of the SDR basket. And, you know, I was speaking to a different economist a little earlier this week. And one of the things that he had said that, you know, obviously China is chomping at the bit to get put into this SDR basket with the IMF.
Sure.
They're not ready right now, right? Possibly like October, which again, falling after the September date, which makes me a little bit nervous about that September date anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, why would they, you know, want to get into the IMF basket? And, the person that I was speaking with said it was basically because they were going to be able to then control at a much higher rate everything that was going on at the IMF, which would give them basically a kill shot at the IMF, and then obviously they're going to still have controlling power over the AIIB. But when you were on the program, you had said that the United States was actually doubling their resource allocation to the SDR basket, which would in fact not allow China to have any kind of controlling say over the IMF. Can you clarify exactly what's going on with the SDR basket and the IMF in China?
Yeah, well, right now it's euro, yen, pounds, and dollars, right?
Right.
So China is anxious to have the yuan counted. Now, why would they want that? Well, because, you know, just like having your stock included in an index, when anybody buys the index, they necessarily buy a portion of your stock.
Right.
So they recognize, obviously, that if the yuan is counted as part of the IMF basket, then the SDR basket, forgive me, that is what the IMF issues,
right,
then that would increase the demand for the Chinese currency outside of China. This is what has gotten the dollar to the position that it is, and that is that dollars are good somewhere else besides the United States, so our inflation can effectively be exported.
Mm-hmm.
China recognizes that being a non-convertible currency, if no one else is storing up their currency unit, then they had better, A, set up some bilateral trade agreements, and, B, try to get into something that's going to allow their currency to be included. As for the Asian Infrastructure Bank overtaking the IMF, I suppose David could beat Goliath here, but this is a bank of $50 billion in capitalization where the IMF is a trillion dollars.
Right.
And I guess the difference between a billion and a trillion, you really have to think about for a minute, but it is huge.
It's a lot of zeros.
And so, you know, to suggest that in the opening salvos they're going to take over, I don't think so. But
okay,
getting in the door, well, that's an important thing. The euro got in the door, the yen got in the door, you know, the pound mm-hmm. sterling, and the dollar kind of set the tone. And, of course, the Chinese are demanding a seat at the table. We're upping our allocation, which means that we're increasing our share. And so if an equivalent share to that increase is given to the Chinese, well, they really haven't gained anything now, have they?
Roger that.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so they'll come to the table. And think about, again, the idea of inclusion and interest. So now, once the Chinese are interested and their currency has a demand from outside of China, now they feel they're full partners at the table.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN Worldwide.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month? Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods. But what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We're moving into the final segment with our very special guest today, Mr. Andrew Gause. I highly recommend you guys go check out usgoldcoins.com. Andrew always seems to be the guy that answers the phone when you call that wonderful company, and he will talk to you guys ad nauseum about some of the ways that you might be looking into, preserving your wealth as the time frames continue to roll by here. And Andrew, we were talking about the expansion of the AIIB, the alternative to the SWIFT, initiative, and also this, the BRICS bank kind of taking over the world potentially. But I just want to kind of put it into perspective for people. Given your monetary historian status, how important do you think the next 5 months are going to be in terms of people having an opportunity to prepare themselves for what might be coming? I mean, are we really at kind of the end game here, sir, in your opinion?
I wouldn't say the end game, but a dramatic change and a dramatic shift for sure. And to sum up what we've been speaking about for the first segment, I'm not as worried about the Chinese as I am about the Islamic State, okay? The declaration of the Islamic State in launching its own currency last November.
Have you seen one yet? I keep meaning to ask you if you've seen a gold ISIS coin yet.
I have not. I've been keeping my eyes peeled, but boy, in
That's
terms of what
item.
Could be a threat, that could very easily be a threat, because now there's no paper. It's just money. It's just gold, silver, and copper coins
right. That
would pass from hand to hand. And there would be no fiduciary responsibility anywhere. You buy something, you pay for it, and it's transferred when you hand the coin over. That's the ultimate system, and that's the one to worry about, not another fiduciary money coming from, it's like a different ruler, but the same game.
So what do you mean by you're worried about that, though? Because obviously we're not worried about ISIS taking over the world. Are you worried about the threat that might come from people realizing what actual money is?
Yes. Its impact on the global currency system. Yes,
okay.
Exactly. If people decide that they would much rather hold that than Chinese yuan or U.S. dollars or euro or Swiss francs or any other fiduciary money, and they say, well, you know what, this is gold money and this is the place to put your wealth, especially with the prohibition of usury in the Muslim community, if they all Muslims converted their wealth into these new coins, it would have a devastating impact on the world's financial system. So that, to me, is a bigger threat than anything going on with the BRICS banks or with China or anything else. So having said that, where are we now? Well, we are worse off in terms of potential financial crisis than we were in 2007. Worldwide dollar-denominated debt has increased 2.5 times. More money supply, dollar supply has increased, although a great deal of it is being held off the market by the American banking system. There's still a tremendous amount of money sloshing around out there. And with all this dollar-denominated debt coming due and the sanctions in place, there are any number of trigger events could send us into an inflationary cycle, which would be very bad for the 10,000 baby boomers that are retiring every day, because you know they've spent the last 30 years amassing this supply of dollars, and now all of a sudden they're going to be worth half as much as they were. Mm-hmm. And you know, that really is the threat to me. So looking out, I see Americans storing a majority of their wealth in dollars, and then finding the dollar to be worth substantially less than they thought it was, and not having enough money to make it through retirement. That's a frightening prospect for America's elders.
When you're basically saying that the dollar index is going to fall again, where do you think the dollar index is going to settle out at when this happens?
Well, when gold was 1900, the dollar index was at 72.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could easily see it retrenching to 72, especially now that I said the rotation is occurring. So you're even seeing the mainstream financial news talking about the rotation. Is it time to take your money out of the dollar market and move it into the euro market or into any other potential advancing emerging third world market?
I
disagree, but of course, you know, once the lemmings start, it's hard to stop them. So the rest of the world has kind of been piling into dollars for the last 2 years, driving the dollar index to near parity. Where are we? 99 today.
We're at 99.82, I think, was where it was at.
So what's curious about that is that with the dollar so strong, you would expect gold to be half of what it is right now.
Right.
And in fact, it's not. It's held up. So it indicates to me that a lot of the strength in the dollar is fleeting. And it's that fickle money that can disappear in a flash. And as we're faced with the same situation that the Swiss are, we didn't invest the money that people poured into here. We spent it. You know, there's a big difference. So where the Swiss may have put the euros aside and said, okay, someday these Europeans are going to come back with their Swiss francs and we want to be able to give them their euro back, the United States Treasury just spent that money. You know, they just took it and bought whatever the heck they buy with it. So we're going to be in a tougher position where we have a 12, 13 trillion in outstanding market-owned bonds,
right,
and an inability to pay them from existing revenues. So that's going to force the Federal Reserve to undertake another round of quantitative easing, which will of course drive gold double, triple where it is right here, and drive the dollar down significantly in value. So don't count on the Fed raising interest rates just on a whim.
No,
the only reason they're going to raise interest rates is to defend the dollar.
Right.
And that's it. There's no other reason. So,
and really, we're talking about, like a 0.5% raise, maybe, if we even see that. It's going to be mostly symbolic, don't you think?
I do. And again, only if you see a significant dollar weakness from 99 on the index, you know, down into the low 90s, high 80s.
Right.
Then you will definitely see a move by the Fed in June. If not, if the dollar maintains its strength, it won't be until September. But the next move by the Fed will definitely be up. And it will be in defense of a falling dollar. So once that starts, that's when the real danger of the crisis begins, because a falling dollar in this environment is just going to be devastating. You know, Americans, believe this or not, when the crisis started, if you ask people, how much money do you have in the bank? Now, I'm not talking about invested. I'm referring strictly to money with a zero maturity, MZM. You can check this chart out at the St. Louis Fed.
Yep.
In 2007, we had $6 trillion stashed. Today, we have $13 trillion stashed. So rather than spending money, Americans and companies and countries have just been piling them up. If they all decide at one time to spend that money, man, stand back. Katie, bar the door, because it will be an inflationary surge like the United States has never seen.
Right. Well, and then I wanted to ask you, too, if we're anticipating the fall of the dollar index down into like the mid-70s or something, will we see a similar rise in the euro? Or do you think the euro has kind of seen its time in the sun and that there might potentially be, you know, a yuan rising up or something else to take away from that disparity that we see right now between the euro and the dollar?
Well, the curious situation is that quantitative easing in Europe really has only just begun.
Right.
So, you know, the guys who buy bonds strictly on the thesis that when they go down in price, they go up in yield, and up in yield, down in price, and up in price, down in yield. If you have the European Central Bank buying bonds, the European bonds, in order to drive down the interest rate, well, that would mean that the price will go up. So whether they think Europe is a great investment or not, heck, they're just going to buy bonds waiting for European interest rates to be driven down so that the principal value of those bonds increases.
Hmm.
And that's where the trade, the smart trade, will run.
Okay.
So no, I don't necessarily see it being bad for the dollar and bad for the euro. I think, as I said previously, and I have been saying since January, it's our turn in the barrel. Ours, I mean the dollar.
Right.
So while we propped up the rest of the world during the dollar crisis with newly created dollars, now it's our turn. And
so now we're the best looking horse at the glue factory, essentially.
Yes, exactly. The cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry for you bachelors out there.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up bonds really quick, because I wanted to ask your impression of the story about Swiss. Switzerland just, as of yesterday, had their first bond auction for the 10 years with a negative yield.
Right.
I don't understand, you know, I'm deferring to you because you're obviously much smarter than I am, but how significant is that?
Very, especially on a long-term bond. So you think of the prospect, you ask somebody, they say, well, that was a 10-year, I believe, right?
It was, yes, sir.
So the prospect is, hey, I'm going to give this Swiss bank 10,000 Swiss francs today, and 10 years from now, they're going to give me back 99.50.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, of course it doesn't, unless you follow what I was saying about down in price, upper price, down in yield, right?
Okay.
So if you're driving the yield down, even if it's negative, if it doubles, if it's negative 2 and it goes to negative 4, the face value of the bond increases accordingly. And the people that bought those bonds are not people that are planning on holding them for 10 years. They're people that are counting on a currency devaluation, primarily in the dollar and in the euro, and the conversion into Swiss francs will gain them a net.
So the fact that they were successful in selling that is a pretty startling indicator of the feeling of the investors across the board.
Exactly. Precisely.
All coming together.
And you know, the first negative bond that I saw this year was on February 25th, the German Bund sold for the first time ever in negative territory. But now the 10-year Swiss, of course, is a very, very strong indication. And as I've put it to people before, you know, in the United States, the commercial banks have traded all of their bad mortgage-backed securities and United States Treasury debt for newly created Federal Reserve notes. And you could see on the balance sheets of the Fed that they have nearly $3 trillion in excess reserves on deposit at the New York Fed.
Right.
So why would they want to pay for your money when the Fed has already given them $3 trillion for free?
For free? At zero interest.
so they're not gonna pay you anything for your money for quite some time to come.
Wow.
So I would look for no, and everyone of course is doing the same thing now, chasing yield.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do things like these Swiss negative bonds and look for more of that to continue.
Wow. Makes me glad I bought all these little bottles of booze as a hedge. I'll tell you what.
That is a great hedge.
It is a great hedge. I think they're going to be paying off in dividends here in the long run, man. But, I wanted to ask you about a different hedge. We talk a lot about coins on the show. We've talked about kind of buying I don't like using the term junk silver, but you know, the non-numismatic, the coin silver. Yeah. But one thing that I had been following recently, and I'm wondering if your opinion, just kind of what your opinion is on it, is on the pre 82 pennies. And I know we're talking about a very small denomination, but with copper approaching $3 a pound, I know I can take 150 pre-82 pennies and make a pound worth of copper, which tells me that my penny is worth a penny and a half as long as it's 95% copper. Am I stupid for holding on to those things? Is it going to be pointless because I'm going to need so much? But, or what do you think is going to happen with the price of copper? Am I a crazy person, or what do you think?
Not at all, man. Triple your money is triple your money. You know, and if I took you back to 1964 and said, hey, go gather up all the silver dimes that you can at face value, how many would you get? My answer is all of them.
All of them.
Right. And so for me, an 82 copper cent, pre-82 copper cent, does not make it through my hands.
Right, me neither.
No, I have a 55-gallon drum. I've been just tossing them in there. Now, okay, is it a lot of value? No. But is it still double, triple, quadruple, 10 times your money? Yeah, easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I call these urban gold because, you know, for the folks that, God bless you out there, if you can't really save any money at all, just save those early copper pennies.
That's right.
Don't spend any of them. Throw them in a bucket. And, yeah, it's not much, but, boy, it's better than nothing. And if that's all you have the ability to do, well, God bless you and do that.
Well, and I, because, You get them all the time, too. That's the thing is, I mean, I go through all my coins nowadays. I go through my notes. I look for, you know, anything I can find that might be unusual. And every once in a while, I'll get like a, you know, a mercury dime or something from the grocery store. But it seems like every day I'm getting copper pennies. I mean, two or three a day, that adds up over a lifetime.
It most certainly does. And especially, you know, the big water bottle, the big, you know, drum, the 5-gallon bucket, whatever you have to have, just fill it up.
Right.
And it's a painless way of saving even a few pennies. And let me tell you, it will add up over a lifetime. So if you're young and you find that you have no ability to save, try this simple method. Don't let an 82 copper penny or pre-82 copper penny go through your hands.
That's
if you
right.
get one, put it aside. And I think when you're an old guy or a gal, you'll be thanking the lucky stars that you did.
I agree with that. What do you think about coin roll hunting? You know, going to the bank and trying to get half dollars and then going through them. Do you think that's worth doing in terms of time anymore?
Again, yeah, I've advocated that for a dozen years. I had one particular young man, I guess he was 24, who made it like a job.
Right.
And he would, you know, go to his bank, go bank to bank, and ask for half-dollar rolls, bring them home, and then go through them. Now, what even bank tellers don't realize, everyone knows that before 1964, all of the coins were made of 90% silver.
Yep.
But very few people know that from 65 to 70, the half dollars were made of 40% silver.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they go through the rolls, and sure enough, in every roll, there's usually one or two, or sometimes more, that are these 65 to 70 half dollars, which are worth triple face. So, you know, three times your money is three times your money.
That's right.
And this young man that I referred to, when he came to put his down payment on his house and he sold me all those halves, it amounted to almost $10,000 that he had accumulated in just a few years. And he indicated to me that it was all profit. So
right.
It must be profitable because there's a standing example of watching it done.
I like that. I haven't been able to find a bank. Most of our banks around here are too small, and they don't seem to ever get any rolls in. I've got to almost order them in advance. But, you know, the thing about that is that you're exchanging, you know, face value for face value. And if you don't strike out or if you don't, you know, hit a home run with your roll, you still have that.
No
you
doubt,
can still
Sandra.
Take that half dollar down to your grocery store, and it's still going to work just as well. You know, you're not out anything for making the investment and taking the time to go through that stuff. So to me,
that's
a perfect
rainy
day.
What this young
man,
JP, did is he just took the rolls back to the bank, you know,
right.
the ones that – the ones that didn't have anything in them went back to the bank. So
yeah.
you could do it with the same amount of money. In other words, he just took that same amount of money and kept rolling it over. It was an interesting experiment. I think it took him about 4 years, but still, that's a significant profit for part-time employment.
You could do that, or you could spend $50K going to college for 4 years and have less, you know, have nothing to show for your efforts. So, I mean, to me, it's, again, it's a great rainy day holiday out there. Andrew, one of the other things we talk about a lot is the gold issue, the precious metal thing. And, you made the comment last time you were on the show that the new gold fix wasn't really going to affect anything. And wouldn't you know it, it hasn't really affected anything. We've been basically at 1200 since about that same day. But one of the questions I had, just because I don't know personally, is this new gold fix, are they responsible for other precious metals as well? Or is this just specifically gold?
Specifically gold, which is the financial metal, but I expect that you'll start to see the same thing happen to the other metals as well.
Okay.
You know, the idea that it's a world marketplace, and remember we spoke about the premium in China above the London gold fix, and we're starting to see that premium disappear. So this latest increase, if you will, I think we were around 1160, 1170 when we had that discussion, and we're right around 1200. I would attribute most of that increase to the fact that the fix is more slightly more transparent than it used to be.
Okay. Well, and I wanted to talk, because we talk about gold so often on the show, I want to talk a little bit about silver right now. I was reading an article earlier this week talking about silver essentially being very historically undervalued right now. And I wondered if you could kind of clarify. So you agree with that, and then kind of clarify for people what we're thinking about in terms of gains. I mean, to me, silver seems like that's just a gift sitting out there waiting to be had right now.
Yes. And, you know, if you look at geologists will tell you that for every ounce of gold that you find, you'll find 16 ounces of silver, roughly.
Okay.
So this historic 16-to-1 ratio has been the norm. But look where we are now. Where are we? 1,200. divided by, let's call it $17 to be fair.
Okay.
70 to 1.
70 to 1.
70 to 1. So either A, gold is dramatically undervalued, which I believe it is.
Right.
Oh, excuse me. Silver is dramatically undervalued at 70 to 1. I think the price, my chart shows peak silver price where it should be, $105. Where are we? 17. So to me, I think silver is a screaming buy.
Right.
And we're doing silver dollars right now. I've been buying Mint State 63. Now that's on a scale of 1 to 70. So these are mint condition, uncirculated silver dollars from the 1870s. Mm. I've been buying them in the $70 range. And when you consider that it costs, $30 to get a coin graded, certified, and put in a hard plastic holder, heck, that's a pretty doggone good value. I mean, I remember those things when I was a kid trading at 185 to 250, and that's when silver, of course, made its run to $50 when the Hunt brothers cornered.
Mm-hmm.
But I easily see these as a triple, a quadruple, and so we've been buying them in quantities of 1,000 plus. And so that, I think, silver dollars from the 1880s and mint state are a wonderful addition to any investment portfolio, and I couldn't recommend them enough. So I really think silver is undervalued.
Well, let's talk about all this aspect then. In terms of investing, we've got about 6 minutes left. I want you to plug definitely the site and talk a little bit about what your main recommendations are for people right now who want to hedge and preserve their value. And I also want to touch just on the issue of confiscation. You know, what do we need to be concerned about in terms of buying gold and precious metal so that we don't fall into the confiscation trap later?
Yeah, two very important points. Okay, so for the first one, first I want to say, what should you do? Educate yourself.
Yes.
Start by listening to shows like this, Red Pill. Take the Red Pill, for goodness sake, and understand how the monetary system works. So to that end, I've made 3 half-hour audio CDs. One is entitled The Federal Reserve. Ignore the disinformation and learn what it really is. The Federal Reserve, who runs it, how it operates, etc. That's one audio CD. The second one is The Definition of Money. unless you know what a dollar is, it's hard to save them. And then the third, Protecting Your Wealth. Well, that covers all the things we're going to talk about here in a minute. So those 3 audio CDs are available free to Red Pill listeners. That's a $30 value. All you have to do is call the 800 number and just mention you heard it on JD's show. Call us at 800-468-2646. 800-468-2646 or my website, andygoss.com.
So there's cool. Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, on the issue of confiscation, because this is a very big topic in the blogosphere,
right.
The idea that the federal government is going to take your silver bars or take your gold bars, it's absurd. What they'll do instead is order you to sell it to them at today's price, which is what Franklin Roosevelt did in 1933. He said, okay, everybody who's holding gold bullion must sell it today to the Federal Reserve for $20.67 an ounce.
Hmm.
And everyone did. And immediately gold was revalued at $35 an ounce and eventually went to $40.22 an ounce, or nearly double or over double
right. What
it was when they turned it in. So that's what would happen, not they're going to come to your house and kick your door in and take your gold. It's much more subtle than that. So now once they make it illegal for you to own gold or silver, when silver was done in 67, mm-hmm. then your choice is to, bury it and just leave it there until it's not illegal to own anymore or sell it. Because if you bring it out and try to sell it during that prohibition, my goodness, you'll be an outlaw, a criminal.
Right.
Well, I suppose if that's okay, then you could do that. What I say instead is just go dust off the Constitution, right? Because in 1940, while it was completely illegal to own an ounce of gold, and you would have gone to jail had you tried to sell it, I could have sold the Attorney General of the United States a $20 gold piece on the steps of the Supreme Court, and I would have been perfectly within the law. So the recall of 33 specifically exempted coins of unusual collector value. It also exempted your jewelry. and your collectibles that were made of gold or silver.
Oh.
So if you're going to invest in gold and silver, do it in one of those forms. Don't store gold and silver in bullion, meaning 1 ounce Krugerrand. Name your form. If it says on it 1 ounce gold, fine, 999, it's bullion.
Oh.
And you're going to find wrong end of the forced sale trap, because that's what it'll be, a forced sale. So I've advocated for decades now, instead of buying a bar, buy a few old circulated silver coins. Mm-hmm. Instead of buying a bar of gold, buy an old circulated $20 gold piece. You don't have to buy a mint condition coin, although I think you should. Even if you buy one that's been used as money, so on a scale of 1 to 70, say it's a 20 grade, that won't cost you much more than an ounce of gold. So why take the chance? I guess that's the argument.
That's me too. I think that's the best advice that you could possibly give, is this mid-grade numismatic stuff, because then you're protected on both fronts. And Andrew, is that something that you would be able to help us with if we were to get in touch with you? I mean,
Absolutely. Today, for example, I'll buy any circulated $10 gold piece for $605. Now that's, $1,200 gold. So you see how big a premium it is.
Right.
And I'll sell you the same coin for $655. It's a $50 spread. That's about what you would expect on a half ounce of anything made of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you have to buy a $20,000 coin. So if you've been misinformed about the numismatic market, I urge you, call 800-468-2646. Talk to one of the brokers. Now, certainly, after you've piled up a good little base and a foundation of these semi-numismatic coins, then does it make sense to buy an early $10 gold piece or a very rare $10 gold piece? Yeah, you bet it does.
Right.
And you're comfortable. Just stick with stuff that you can understand, and that circulated gold and circulated silver is very easy to understand.
Absolutely phenomenal advice, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Andrew, very much for joining us once again. I want to highly recommend people get in touch. Get those DVDs from him. Holy cow, it's such good information that he's making available to all of you guys out there. Andrew, again, thank you, my friend. This has been a very informative hour.
As always, JD, thank you, man.
Anytime, brother. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the program today. Keep it right here on TFR. Roger Sales will be live joining us in just a few minutes. And I'll be on the Woo Crew this evening with all of the crazy woo-ness that will be happening tonight. Definitely keep it here all day, TFR, guys. We will be back on Monday, but I will see you guys in the chat room throughout the day and this evening. Take care. Good luck out there, and do not let the man get you down. We'll see you guys later on.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.